Hello and welcome to Royale Without Cheese, our bi-weekly podcast in which we discuss both the classic and the unknown of art and popular cinema from the then and now. We are your hosts, me, Miguel Aide, Tomás Ferreira.
Hey, Tomás.
Hi. And Leonardo Miranda.
Hello.
As part of our award season segment, we'll be looking at the likely contenders for the 2024 Oscars. Today we talk about Maestro, but before any ado, don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, or simply give us a like. Maestro is a 2023 biopic directed by Bradley Cooper about the relationship between American composer Leonard Bernstein and his wife Felicia, starring Cooper himself and Carey Mulligan. Premiering at Venice International Film Festival, where it was nominated for the Golden Lion, it got a second live streaming on Netflix and 4 nominations at the Golden Globes. Surely Bradley's sweet ode to the composer rang many bells, but did it shine with Royale Without Cheese, fellas? What's the verdict, fellas?
Indeed, what's the verdict? Well, I'll tell you, boy. If summer doesn't sing in you, then nothing ever will sing. And in fact, I will tell you something. Did I enjoy this film? There's a part of me that enjoys. And also, there's a part of me that doesn't. I will pass the word over to Michael, who didn't like Bradley Cooper's performance.
No.
Oh, no.
I have more problems with the story, with the plot, the script, than necessarily with Bradley Cooper's acting.
Ah, okay. So not the performance. I thought it was very sure of yourself when moments ago, before this review.
because we were talking about the Oscars and considering.
So in
Bradley
those
Cooper,
terms of comparison, okay.
Yeah, so, that right. way I don't think he deserves.
Sure.
I think it'd be too easy just because he has makeup and he's portraying a famous guy. But
you know, to be honest, the Oscars sometimes.
No, it's
like
exactly why. But the nomination, I'll see it.
Yeah,
I believe it completely. But I think it'd be too easy, especially because I really don't think it's that good. It just seems like too much of an imitation. I don't know. I just look at his performance and I think this is a guy portraying a guy, and I don't feel
this is true.
Like I'm looking at a composer or a
you
character.
Feel the acting in this film.
Yeah, that's
Carey Mulligan too, in my opinion. Very, you feel like it's an actor's like trying to. Oh, we're actors here, all right? But it's like
you don't feel. I don't feel I'm looking at the composer. That's a very good line, and I think the same. I don't feel like I'm looking at the composer sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes. Much of it is due to the fact that I don't see the artist in this. I see a man blabbering about art and life, but I never see the struggling artist. And I think that is like, I don't know, a film about a plumber, but I never do see him doing the plumbing. Yes, sure, I do. I do see him doing the concerts, the end result, but I don't see the study, the inspiration, what goes on behind him. It's just, you know, I get it's a lot about the relationship between him and the wife, but where is the meat and grittiness of the work?
Where's the drama? There's this scene where they start to fight, and there's this sort of important scene of a fight between them in the room. And they're discussing, like, you only care about yourself, you're too cold or something. And I'm like, where have we seen this throughout the film? What are you fighting about?
In a way, it's realistic, because when two people fight and you're an outsider, you're like, what the fuck are you two talking about?
Yeah, okay,
it's like,
sure.
But I don't, for a movie, that's not that interesting. It's like,
that's the thing. I honestly didn't see up until that point that much drama that was worthy of that discussion, I think. And I mean, credit where it's due, I think Carey Mulligan, even though I do feel the same thing that Leo said, I do think she's a much better at her role than Bradley. She does have at least some fire and some heart, and her character is a bit more interesting. But it's just, it's not enough. I do think directing-wise, it's a much cooler effort than his previous film. And especially in the beginning, I think he has a lot of interesting shots. And even the character speaking very quickly did remind me of these old films and the way they used to record sound and dialogue. It was very sort of retrospective. But then it completely lost that mood and that ambience of old films and just became a modern film. Completely lost that sense.
I would disagree. I wouldn't say so, but that's me.
I mean, the way he puts the camera on that sort of huge tracking shots through the ceiling with the character speaking very quickly. There's a lot of moments in the beginning where his directing is feels very cool and fresh and different. But then in that specific aspect, at least in the rest of the film, I feel like it becomes a very much more classic film of a sort of a biopic, a drama
Yeah,
period
I can
biopic.
understand that in broader strokes because there are moments in the color section that I really love, you know, in
No,
terms
yeah,
of the
sure.
nuance of the visuals. I'll say this, you know, in terms of the positives of the film, I think it's a great mood piece, starting off from your point. And I think directing-wise, there's a lot of moments of visual flair in the sumptuous and the bubbly champagne quality of the film. There's a sort of sumptuous flair to the film that really brings Hollywood of the Golden Age in both its black and white
Yes, I agree.
aspects and the color that is very reminiscent to me of the Douglas Sirk's melodramas of the 50s and 60s in the Technicolor aspect, and how he explores, you know, the romance in autumn colors with the yellows, the browns, and the greens and the reds. You know, you feel there's both romance in it, the fiery of love, but also the fiery sense of love, but also sadness and melancholy. So visually speaking, the way he orchestrates the shots and the color palette in it, I find that it speaks volumes. But and then the performances in broad ways, I like his performance and I like Carey Mulligan's performance. I do agree that hers is better. She's also much more captivating because she's more of the victim against Leonard Bernstein's kind of, you know, marriage that is unfair. You know, they always justify that, you know, my husband, and now, you know, and now I'm imitating guess who, you know, my brother, he is, you know, who am I talking like this?
Sarah,
Speaking,
Sarah.
Sarah, of course, and she's, you know, my brother, you know, he likes everyone, he's polygamous, so you need to excuse him, you know, like
Felicia.
Felicia, you know, and oh, okay, I always knew that he was how he was, so I'm fine with this. It's just stupid, and it's like, for example, I think the what was going to this the first half, I think is enormously rushed. The setup is very, very rushed, and I guess I understand that there's this side of the film that very intently wants to transpire this idea of how time rushes by and our youth goes away, and suddenly, did we really know the person that we got married to? There's a side of him that maybe I didn't quite understand then, and I thought I did. Okay, there's that aspect, but nevertheless, and there are aspects of that idea that I like in how the editing expresses that, because there's this in the directing and the editing of Bradley Cooper, and I think this has been told about him by his editor, that he really thinks as an editor in the way he connects things together. One of the lovely things about his directing style in the first act is that the physical barrier between spaces is crunched almost like there's no time difference between going to one place to the other. You know, you're in his bedroom as he gets his first breakthrough gig through the telephone. He leaves the bedroom, he's on the concert hall. This huge kind of god-eye camera tracks him down. This sumptuous traveling goes down the stage, back to him, sweeping music that probably was done by Bernstein himself, and is very taking. And you know, time flies by, and you feel the emotion of the scene. You know how like him going from one conquest to the next, or when he's at that lunch with friends, with a German conductor who is like a Holocaust runaway immigrant, saying that he should change himself. He's Jewish heritage, his name, he's go away from musical theater, a bit kind of implying how he should change his whole personality, really, maybe even his gay ways. Or bisexual, I don't know fully if he's bisexual or homosexual. But, and then he leaves that, we should go away, you know, because Felicia says, you know, show me your true self. And then they go away from it, and they are immediately in the concert hall. I like that pure magic of it. It's very, like I said, bubbly champagne quality. Suddenly they are in one moment, suddenly they are in the next. The distance between spaces is non-existent, and there is a magic to it, the magic to it that, you know, you are suddenly are seeing her on stage, kind of enjoying the spoils of her fame, her breakthrough as an actress, and at the same time he's having the spoils of his breakthrough as a conductor. You know, he bows down or she bows down and he comes up into camera, and it's the magic of movie making, all, you know, all into one.
That's all
And
beautiful, but where's the drama?
exactly.
Where's the drama?
Visually, it's saying a lot, but
Where
then the drama, where it's failing to me is like, where is the artist? Who is this guy? I don't see him
Yes.
struggling hard as an artist. And so if I don't see who is the man, I cannot understand who is this guy that she's married with and how is he feeling. Because there's one side of him I understand. There's two things he says about himself in an interview midway into the film. I love people. I cannot live without people. I feel like I'm lonely. But I also can't live without music. I love music. And the two things there, Bernstein. One thing we understand about you: you love people. You can't live without people. That's your obsession. You even leave the bathroom door open. And in a way, that is in the film. And there's that. That's a nuance in the subtext, in the film. In that, this guy blabbers about art and life to the public. The very first shot of him is him at the piano being filmed by a camera crew. He has a personality, a TV personality that has taught children and adults all over the world through the later half of the 20th century about music and composition and orchestra. And you see a superficiality to the man, an image to the man that even with his family, he's always kind of lecturing them about, how I love my art and how I am like this. So I love people, how I love people. I can't be one thing, It's always like lecturing people about it. So I understand that side of the coldness and how he can be unbearable to deal with. But then you have the side of, I love music. Okay, where is that? There's one scene that exemplifies this fully, which is, and I don't understand the scene. We see him for the first time writing music. Okay, he's there in the rehearsal. He's alone in his study. Okay, for the first time, you see something in concrete. And I feel about a composer should have this kind of stuff. How does he have these moments of inspiration that fuel him? Inspiration that may come from his lovers, that may come from his life with his wife. We don't really see those eureka moments happening. We don't see him at work. And then suddenly we have this scene where for the first time we see him in his study working. He leaves his room, he comes to the living room, and his whole family is in, and he says, I finished mass. Wife goes out of the way, goes into the pool, falls. Oh,
Yeah,
how
what is
tired,
that?
how
It's
angry I am.
what
And
is
I'm
he
like,
doing? That's what it
and I'm
is. It's
like, what
stupid.
is that? And I'm like, who? I don't understand the meaning of this mass piece because I'm completely new to it.
Exactly.
What is
Like,
the weight of this?
I see what the intention is, which is like, oh, he's been working on it for so long and she's so tired of it. She jumps in the water 'cause it's freeing, but we didn't see him work
We
on
didn't
it.
see any
Like,
of that. We didn't
what is
see any of
this?
them, and
You don't see the
that's the problem.
struggle in either side of them. Like, why would it be a struggle for either of them? We don't know, because it seems like, for me, it seems like he sat on the piano, he finished it easily, done.
Exactly.
And now,
Exactly.
how is she keeping herself in the bottom?
That's a very interesting
that's a very
question.
interesting question that I want answers for.
She's using her head to keep
She
her
has
down.
so much weight and drama
Yeah,
in
so much.
here.
She has so
Yeah,
much
so much
pressure.
that I'm down there.
But yeah, but
And
that's
Carey
a
Mulligan,
big problem.
she's so funny with her acting voice because it's a very specific acting. It's like,
She overdoes it
darling,
sometimes, I think.
oh darling, I can't hope with it. I can't deal with it. It's hatred in a heart. Hatred, you live with it, and you know it. I'm
Oh,
pointing with my
Lenny, that's
cigarette.
perfectly preposterous.
Hatred.
Lenny, it's like, I
Lenny.
think it's also the writing. It's very, I
Yeah.
understand what the film is
There are
going
times
for.
where I like the dialogue is not at all naturalistic. It's very
Yeah,
poetic, and there are moments
exactly.
in which I like it. I like when
Me
dialogue
too.
allows itself to be over the moon, and it makes part of like the Douglas Sirk kind of dreamlike Technicolor, sumptuous, bubbly, champagne, Hollywood. Let's go to the land of dreams and be rich. Who and the sumptuousness in their wardrobe, the big kind of living room, it lives and breathes in dialogue. And there's one I like particularly, which is when they are on the floor smoking cigarettes. It's their first, let's say, love scene, but that's only implied. And he says, let's play a game, envy and secrets. I'll tell you a secret. I'll tell you, an envy, what I'm envious about, and then we become closer. Oh, I feel pretty close now, then. Oh, I think so. We've been sleeping together. So I don't mind those like forays, but there are
Yeah.
some others where I think it's a bit much, perhaps.
I don't know. I think mo the scenes with that scene
There
with
was.
Sarah Silverman, where they're talking about, I don't even know what they're talking about. I think with Sarah Silverman in general, I think
I
she's
don't like
just not a good
Sarah
actor.
Silverman as a comedian. I don't like her as an actress because I'm always aware of her jokes and I'm
I
always
mean,
aware of her
she's good,
performance.
like in School of Rock, she's good. That makes sense. That's a good role for her.
Yeah.
You put her in a fucking Oscar bait type of film where the acting is like Douglas Sirkian. I mean, what are you? It is ridiculous.
I'm very aware of her acting. She's
Yeah, that's
perhaps
the
the
thing.
most
You're
the one
aware
I'm
of
most aware.
everyone. You're
Yeah, but you're aware of
aware of
everyone. It's
everyone.
just that she's not the type for this type of role. And I don't even fault her. Like, I think it's just bad casting. And I don't know why she was chosen here. But even, but like Bradley and Carrie, they are more, like, they're better, obviously, but I find it more annoying because it's very actor-y.
They're the
it's
mains.
Very, yeah, they're the mains. And you
and
feel...
they're more experienced, so...
Yeah,
you know,
you feel the, you know, the trying to prove we're amazing acting.
Yeah.
You don't feel the characters. You know, like Paul Giamatti, that's the teacher. He's a teacher.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I buy that. I don't even, you know, where these guys, I see the acting. It's too much, I think. It's very much... And the filmmaking itself as well, even though, like, aesthetically speaking, it's a very well-done film technically too, obviously. Everything is well done.
I think there are shots that are... There are shots and dialogue moments good. Are full of nuance, you know, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the pity that overall the film doesn't hold itself together because of the performances. There's this beautiful shot that I love in the film where you have, it's in the color section, where you have this fixed camera position and you are inside this gallery of kind of wooden stakes and leaves over, and you're seeing this dialogue between Felicia and Leonard, and they are away. You can barely see them because there's this kind of barn door kind of, you know, concealing them, and they're talking about having this guest at home. I thought you liked him. It's Tom, you know, the guy, the young man that he falls in love with, and he's putting everything on her. I thought you liked him. I brought him because the kids like him. And it feels like we are piercing into a conversation that we shouldn't really piercing. It has a very voyeuristic quality, and it's amazing how close I feel to it, and yet I'm so canceled off the conversation. It's like I'm upstairs in the living room and I'm hearing what somebody else is saying in the kitchen that I shouldn't listen. I really find that shot very, very beautiful.
Yeah, that shot is great. I think the problem is that what comes after that is exactly that scene we were talking about them finishing
exactly.
That. So it's like,
so you know, the film earns you in one moment,
yeah,
and then the
exactly.
other is
then,
kind
what,
of
yeah. Wait a minute.
Portraying you.
It's like there's this moment of great, like it's pure, like it's marriage problems, and we're focusing on it, and then suddenly, and that's what the film generally does best, is like focusing on marital problems. I think. Not focusing on creation or the creative process. I don't think it does that at all. So then after that great scene, we pass into the massive problem of the film, which is, who is this artist? Who is he as an artist?
Yeah.
And it's just
but,
really
but the thing is,
sad.
For me, the problem really is that it's so not focused on the music part. Because if it's just about a problematic marriage,
it's
what is it about this
one.
Marriage that deserves a story? I mean, I think it's because one of them is Bernstein, so
no,
focus
I think
a little bit on it.
There's something about this marriage that certainly deserves a story in the way that this... There are aspects of interest. I think that the repressed homosexuality is very well played, and there are scenes about it and how
but,
it doesn't
But you could
it.
Do just a fictional story that would be much more interesting. Like, because at the end of the day, the problem, like Felicia...
No, the thing is, to didn't
a lot of her
well
problems
enough.
has to do more with the fact, at least, okay, maybe that's true. Maybe it's the writing here. But from the writing here, her problem is more with keeping appearances. It's more with how he presents himself around other people and why is he so blatant that he's having these affairs. A lot of her problem seems to be that, from the writing, in my opinion. Because, like, so why do I...
Yeah.
It's like, it's a performance.
I think
the
it's
film
a,
is about
a matter of the writing.
Performance.
It didn't push
yeah.
further to make this more interesting. Precisely because you don't have the idea, who is this guy as an artist? How does that work into her feeling ignored? Because clearly there's something there, but it's not explored. If you had explored that, maybe there would be something more to her about her being made to feel, you know, unfairly treated that the audience could, you know, relate with, and just, you know, keeping appearances and such.
Yeah.
I think it's a problem of the
and
writing.
It's such a common shortcoming with biopics, not knowing where to focus on. It annoys me how often this happens with films. And Tomasz, I think you saw Marilyn, the film with about Marilyn Monroe.
No, which one? There's a bunch of them.
The new one from Andrew Dominik.
Blonde, okay.
Yeah, Blonde.
There's the other one, which is My Weekend with Marilyn, which is with
but
Michelle
yeah, Blonde.
Williams. But
there's similarities.
There's Blonde, yeah.
But it's like, there's not a clear choice of what
they
are
rush
we talking
too fast
about.
Into it because they think it's going to do well at box office because you have big stars in them. And then it's a biopic, it's about a real life event, so people think, oh, there's an authenticity to it. So, you know,
the thing is,
I
like, he was working on this for 5 years. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's rushing.
And then Spielberg says that
right.
You're gonna
I
do
saw
well.
That. No. I saw something more specific. Spielberg thought about directing this film and then looked at the some cut of A Star Is Born and said, "You're
Oh no,
directing
yeah.
to
No,
Bradley. You're
yeah,
directing,
because
Maestro." And
Spielberg
I'm
was
like,
signed to
"Okay,
direct
first of all, how are you looking at A Star Is Born and
it.
seeing like, yes, that's the
You
guy."
know, Spielberg also said at Berlinale that I'm learning a lot from young filmmakers, one of them including the Daniels. They're doing beautiful work.
I mean, that's just you try to hype up your peers. I respect
I
that. I
guess.
respect that. Like, just
But I mean, I just okay. Maybe I may have misinterpreted A Star Is Born because it's
I imagine
clearly
you saying that to
melodrama.
Spielberg. Okay,
Yeah, I like it a
Steven,
lot.
I
I
may
hate it
have it
more.
misinterpreted, but you know, what's
No.
going
In the
on?
sense that I recognize the sort of counterpoint that people usually throw at that film, that it's a melodrama and it's purposely this. Well, it's a melodrama, and I when I watch it, I was not in that mindset. For me, it was just a very sort of too much drama with the acting and the story. And but I see that it can be seen that way. I couldn't see it that way.
The thing,
For me,
like a
so it's not
star, the
very
story
meaningful.
in general, that the Star Is Born story is very, like, very melodramatic in its foundations. I mean, that's why. I mean, if you were already familiar with A Star Is Born, like I was when I watched that film, that's why it didn't bother me. It didn't surprise me to
I
see it
haven't
go in
seen
that
neither
direction.
the old ones or the remake,
Yeah, I
so
haven't seen
yeah,
them either,
but
but
I
like I've
understand.
read about them and like the Christofferson version. I know this story. It's like it's a very tragic, like almost a Greek tragedy type of thing that is very, like it's in the popular consciousness. That's unavoidable. And so when I watched the Bradley Cooper version, I was impressed with how, like the filmmaking is very to the point and very like simple setups,
No, yeah, I
which,
agree. Yeah.
yeah. So that's what I liked. And then you go to Maestro, it's the opposite. It's like trying to impress you with the filmmaking almost. And it impresses me most of the times, but it's a very different approach. That's why the Spielberg comment does seem a little strange to me. Because it's like, why, what looking at A Star Is Born, which has almost like a Clint Eastwood type of approach to the,
Yeah.
like the direct filmmaking,
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, how do you go to Maestro, which is none of that? It's like different aspect ratios, I think. There's different color sections, that's
Well, he was
different,
not expecting that,
you
you
know.
know,
Yeah,
that
maybe
would be the
that,
direction,
yeah,
even though.
maybe, yeah. But I mean, surely some things are clear in the script that call for this type of approach, I would think.
I don't
I
know.
don't know. I don't
Depends on
know.
how he wrote it. If he already wrote it, has, you know, directing script where he's inserting these ideas, maybe. But I don't know. It could leave to a lot of
I
interpretation, is
mean,
what
in
the
Hollywood,
he may
sometimes they
have.
do that a lot.
But sometimes they do that, it's true.
I think Bradley may have taken on too many roles in this film, to be honest. Either the acting overlapped with with the directing, or the fact he was also producing and editing and all of
And
these
then he
things.
goes to round tables and you see the making ofs, and everybody's like, he's such a visionary. He's so good. Your film is so brilliant, you know? Those
Yeah, I
parts
mean,
always get
if
to
A
me
Star Is
because, like,
Born was already a pat on the ego, I mean, this film,
yeah, that's the
yeah.
problem, is that people
I'm scared about this next one, yeah.
Are untrue, you
They're
know,
too kind.
because there's
I
a camera
mean,
in front of them and they need to say something
yeah,
nice.
and
And,
everyone
you
is
know, I
nice
get
to each
it.
other, and it's like that's the problem. It's then how do you trust people? It's like, how do I know what you're telling me is true and not just because there's a camera pointing at you?
Spike Lee, and I saw the whole Spike Lee, you know, interview, well, the conversation director on director, you know, even was like, you're great, man, I love your film. And so it's like, he
Yeah.
seemed like a, you know, an honest dude, you know, strikes me as
Yeah,
such that, you know,
he
in front
did
of the
seem very
camera, he
honest.
needs
I
to
do.
see.
I and it's a long conversation, and he saw it like 4 or 5 times, as he said. So I watched the second time. It was already a bit, oh my God. So if he's watching 4 or 5 times, he probably likes it.
Probably enjoy,
But
yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I don't. Maybe
Yeah.
with time will tell, but I
Another
don't see
shot
it.
that I really, you know, that's the thing. You're going for breadcrumbs. And
Yeah.
another shot I really like. It seems like the film is composed of student exercises, ones that did very well, and the others that were stitched together in the edit and not so well, this scene. And so there's this beautiful moment of also from the Carey Mulligan's performance where she has cancer and she's receiving guests and she's cleaning herself. I love the detail of the tissues that she gets to clean her mouth and and put in the basket, and there's these long shots, one of many long shots that are beautiful in the film, attracts her and leaves the guests out of field, you know, out of frame. And they're trying to, you know, talk normally, you know, but you see that she cannot carry on with her, with them. She cannot be a proper host. And you see how that affects her, because she probably was the life of the party in the sense that she, you know, made them come to happen. And, you know, she was part of those big parties that filled up their houses, you know, full of people. Their house, I think they have more than one, full of people. And to see her kind of break down in silence without saying a thing and really wants to respond to him and yet not being able to, it was very striking to me, you know, that deterioration of the body is very betraying.
Yes. And the scene with her receiving the news, I thought it struck me as very realistic, the way the doctor sat down, approached, immediately said the news, and then the reaction.
Oh, yeah.
And
also another
crying.
Long shot that goes, you know, pushes into to her receiving.
The film definitely has a lot of great scenes, but that's, you know, that's what we were talking about before. It amazes you and then disappoints you afterwards.
Exactly.
There's also, for example,
very inconsistent.
In respect to Lenny's repressed homosexuality or bisexuality, whatever it is, you know, there's also many moments, many a times where the fact that they never literally say what it is, you know, or I think it makes the film all the more interesting in respects to any nuance that may be there, you know. They never directly talk about it, and yet they, you know, implicitly talk about it. There's this shot where he re-meets Matthew Bomer, who was a prior love in his life, and he's with a family now, and the camera pushes into Matthew Bomer being seen with his wife and child, now freshly married, and it concludes the shot on them kissing in front of the wife and kid. And I'm like, oh, this is so ingenious, the contrasting, you know, idea between public life and private life here. It almost seems like the wife, because the wife isn't seen, the closing kiss makes the wife become kind of hidden by the kiss, you know, they become the foreground and the wife is in the background, hidden by the kiss. So I thought that just a move, the mise-en-scène was very ingenious there. And so when they fall apart and then she kisses her, any suspicion of them being gay or of it being gay on her behalf leaves, because we now understand that she understands it has, oh, okay, Lenny being once again loving everyone. And she kisses her and then kisses the baby and says, oh, I love New York. You know, you go outside, you see the people you love. You know, it's like he washes everything. Any idea of intimacy, of sexual intimacy, on every hint of possible, or are these guys having an affair, by being, oh, I'm familiar with everyone. I'm just like this with everyone. And to just put the cherry on top, he turns to the baby and says, I slept with both your parents.
But like, to me, that's true. I think he's saying that honestly. That's why I didn't read the scene the same way as you're reading.
What do you mean, honestly?
I think he did sleep with both of their parents. Like, I did.
Oh, no,
I
know.
Ah,
I know,
okay.
He's sleeping with both of their parents.
That's why
is,
I think what you were saying doesn't make a total sense.
No. What I'm, from the perspective of the wife, let me add that, she's unaware that what he means
which,
is actually...
Wait, which wife?
The wife of Matthew Bomer in that moment.
But like, but she's aware that he's bisexual.
Is
like,
she aware?
In this... Clearly, he slept with her, she slept with him.
But,
like, it seems very those types of open secrets, the way that it's done in the film.
But she definitely accepts it much, much easier than Felicia in terms of the marriage.
That can be a possibility, you know. I understand if that is the case. You know, what I understood was that, you know, they were both roommates together. So he puts it as, oh, I slept with both of them. But, you know, she doesn't interpret it as literal sleeping with both of them. So, you know, I think either way you can read it. I completely understand yours. I just thought it was much more interesting to read it, you know, this way, because you know, she doesn't know. But I don't know, you know, it's not for sure. I understand your view.
To me, it seemed very much
if that person
literal.
Knows, if Felicia knows, I think that the wife of Matthew Bomer would know also.
Yeah. It's that type, everybody knows. It's just, that's why I say it's more about keeping appearances.
Why is she so... understanding of she accepting of her like betraying
like, I think
on her
like,
back
she
and
can be that way but see. Then there's so much drama that's failure around it, so it's like which is it? I don't know
exactly.
It's very
and then
confusing.
She sees her kissing him and it's like, oh my god, you're becoming sloppy. Well, you knew that this was going to happen. I don't know,
but yeah exactly.
I don't get
the,
it.
You're becoming sloppy. It's the
so, and that makes me think, you know, I really have a conflict with the film where I don't know how much he does know. Or is it the fact that the writer himself doesn't know what he wants from it, you know? And then I'm confused. Does she know? Does she doesn't know? What does she want from the situation? I think there's the lack of clarity.
Yes, yeah, it's a lack of clarity, I think. I don't fully understand how this him being gay drama affects the characters fully. And so you kind of sense
How
that
much
at
does she know?
sometimes,
How much does she accept? What is
yeah,
it,
at
you know?
sometimes it feels like drama appears out of nowhere. Even though there are moments, this is, even though it gets completely hinted throughout the film that he is. So it's this weird thing where it's hinted at, but then it's not developed in actual scenes, and then you get to a point where it's like it was worked on, but it wasn't, and then suddenly we're much ahead than we should be, and scenes seem rushed. And as I said, I always go back to this thought: I don't see the problem with in the lives of these people. I just see them talking about problems as if they're there, but I don't actually see them in the scenes. I
They
don't
talk a
see,
lot. They talk
yeah, I don't
a
see
lot, and that's part of the
actual.
problem. We don't see them doing.
Like she says, you're cold, you focus too much on this, or the fact that he may be gay. All of these things are talked about, but I don't actually see these things in the images. I don't
And then the film ends in the most kind of, pretentious way, like, I've achieved something great with this film. Any questions?
Any questions?
No. Carey Mulligan
Shit.
now in blue and then Maestro. Like, I don't know how to end this fucking film. I don't know how to end this
No,
fucking film, so
the
I'm going to
film,
end
like,
here.
it's just, I don't know, yeah.
It's
But
like,
it's
what
just because,
conclusion did we reach?
yeah,
What
that is the
was
thing.
it? It's like the film is like, great conclusion that we reached. I'm like,
Like,
what?
when it
What
cuts
was
to that
it?
shot of her approaching the camera in the end, like, I can see this working in a film where I would actually feel the image of her and the memory of her actually haunting him still, but I don't feel that. I really don't. I don't know. The film
So
is
there's
too
a lot of the seeds
unfocused.
of the potential
Yeah,
here.
exactly.
They don't
It's
cease
also
to be
interesting.
interesting, but they don't explore it out there with action. Character is action. Stop blabbering, you know?
And it's
So.
interesting that you say that about the ending, because I literally thought there was going to be another scene, because the at that point there's 13 minutes left in the film, and I was looking at it and I was like, okay, this movie's going to be a little longer, but it's actually 13 minutes of credits.
It's very
I was
telling because it was
so
like, I don't have
underwhelmed by
anything else
the
to give. I'm just gonna put footage of Lenny,
dun, dun.
you
Oh
know, doing
no.
his orchestra bit and put credits over.
Like
So,
a
yeah.
thing I thought it was like, Tar feels like a much more real person to me than Lenny Bernstein now. Like, Tar, I think of
Yeah.
Tar, that's like a human composer that existed and had a lot of
Yeah.
complicated
Because she
realities and
talks so much
things.
about her work, and you
Yeah.
see her with different instruments and what the work means and implies. And then
There's a
that
lot more
has
tension.
its
It's a much more a
repercussions in an
non-pretentious
intimate
film, I
life.
think.
Yeah.
Tar is much more unpretentious.
I agree. Because it's kind of about a pretentious character in a way, even though I think she earns a lot of the pretension. But yeah, it's like it feels
The
less
film
like
is about
trying to impress you.
pretentiousness as
Yeah,
well, you know,
exactly.
Tar. Well, this isn't meant to be, and then it is because, you know, they are really going for it
The
in
film
terms of
has
the Oscar.
this one has a lot of focuses on many little things, marriage, performance, creative process, I suppose, with that one scene, or a couple others where he's playing
Creative
piano
process,
for
that's
the on the town,
Threw
and he's
that
like,
in
"Oh,
there.
the
Threw that
music
in there.
sucks." He's like, "The music sucks. It's sterile. I apologize. I'll work on it." And he doesn't work on it. Even the music he's playing is, I don't know, like, what is this? What are we doing?
Yeah.
And there's also the relationship with the kids. There's one scene with Maya Hawk, I
Yeah,
think.
yeah, yeah.
That is great. I love that scene of him telling her the
Oh yeah,
rumors
me
are
too. Yes,
fake,
that was a good scene there.
and like she sighs of relief, and he's like clearly hurt by the prospect of him being gay or bisexual hurting her so much that she's relieved. That's a great, like, in terms of character, that's a pure thing, and it's
Yeah, that was
simple.
well acted by Bradley.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. But then the film doesn't focus enough on anything to have like a concrete like
And then it
feeling
has
of
that
anything.
obligatory scene of the interview with that guy sitting next to him. And they're talking about his success, basically. He wrote West
Yeah,
Side
that
Story.
scene is a sin in this whole
Yeah,
film.
exactly. It's like,
Because it's
why
like this
have we
speaks about
gotten
his
to this
whole work.
point?
and I haven't done enough. But it's like, what haven't you
We
haven't
need to
done
have
enough?
the interview scene.
Yeah.
Like, you've done nothing to us.
Yeah.
Like, so you haven't done enough? No, you haven't done nothing. Like, we know we've done things. We haven't seen it. We know you're a big artist. We know you're like a performer. You are a public figure
and Lenny,
that has a lot
and
of
says,
gravitas.
I haven't done a lot, and I agree. I agree with you. Show me more,
it's
Lenny.
It's like the film yet again introduces this new problem internally that, oh, I haven't feel like I've done really new work, have I? And he really feels bothered by it. And I'm like, well, you feel really bothered by it, but I haven't seen any of this. Like, this really feels serious, but I haven't seen any of this. So it's really strange that he brings it up.
And probably, you know, they can say, oh, but that's the point. They don't show you. And these are fleeting moments of his life, and the time is passing by, and so he's not creating, and now he's regretting
so,
it. But no, I don't think that works.
It's so containing what we want it doesn't reveal, or what doesn't want to explore. That it becomes a case of, it's not just about nuance anymore. It is becoming thin. It is becoming not explored. So,
and I mean, you know, attestant to what Leo said, the film takes place over decades, if you think about it, and you don't really fully understand that it does. And it's kind of because it's so much things, so many things, and yet you don't really understand any of them.
And he's rarely said, you know, that he had a love for composing since he was a kid, at least fake composing. And, you know, that was a callback, you know, making this film to that kind of childhood love, you know, that fixation. But, you know, I don't know, where is it in the film? And I've seen him in interviews saying that he has entered into filmmaking through acting, but secretly he has always wanted to be a director, and he has learned through being an actor behind the scenes, behind the sets, like what it is that the director does. And I'm sure, you know, evidently some of it it's there, but some of it I don't know if it is there. And he chose to work with Josh Singer, which is the writer of Spotlight.
I mean, it's a well-written film enough, I guess.
It's okay, it's all right. It's not, I thought it won the Oscar,
I mean,
for best adapted screenplay.
Exactly.
I thought,
like, if so, you want the Oscar, that's the guy to go to, I suppose. He won an Oscar.
I get. It's ticking the boxes. And don't you find very weird, like the first time, this is not a mistake on the film or anything, but I found it funny. Like the first time I saw him, like Lenny Bernstein, when he was the ultimate stage of old, and he was teaching some students, and then cuts to this scene where he's listening to R.E.M. And he's so like anachronic. I'm seeing this classical composer dancing to R.E.M. These are the dreams. And he's like, he's so old and sweaty and dancing with that young body. And I'm like, ugh. And the camera is going towards him. And he's like, yeah, people love EP, you know, going R.E.M. And I'm like, okay.
You don't want to see like a person like that. You know, it's undignified. But you know, he's having fun. You gotta have fun.
It just felt like we.
But like,
awkward.
Imagine seeing one
mistake.
Of our
it's just
one
personal.
Of our one of our teachers in a context like that. It's like,
yeah, holding you tight.
Like, I'm sure you. I'm sure that happened, but I don't want to see that.
Oh, you must just come into mind. I'm sure that happened.
Yeah. And that's all for today. If you'd like to reach out and suggest a film for the next episode, you can find us on the podcast official Instagram and Facebook pages. Feel free to subscribe, share this episode, or simply give us a like. That's how our podcast can grow ever more groovy. And if you're on YouTube and want to see more videos like this, check out this next video right here. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.